Blog Talk Radio.
This is Anton Blancet. I'm sitting here with Mark Moore, and we are going to talk about the proposed Article 5 convention. A little bit about Mark. Mark has been there and done that. As a young man, he was the vice chair of the Union County GOP, and he was the communications director for the state Young Republicans. In 2004 and in 2006, he helped State Senator Jim Holt, and in 2006, it was for a statewide primary as campaign director and policy advisor. That was during the lieutenant governor's spot. In 2008, he was an official campaign spokesman for the Congressman Ron Paul presidential campaign. And in 2009, he co-founded the Benton County Tea Party and served as chair of the at the founding convention. He now works with Arkansas Neighbors, which is, if you want to know more about them, that is www.arneighbors.org, and that is to help to elect independents to offices. And he is also the author of Localism, A Philosophy of Government. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you. Well, we seem to be having a proposal coming before the Arkansas legislature for a constitutional convention under Article 5, what they're calling a amendment convention or a convention or with the Convention of States. And I think this one's with the Compact for America. Is that correct?
Yes. There are several ideas out there to use Article 5 in our federal constitution to amend the constitution. And it is not my position that Article 5 should never be used or what have you, but it is my position that when you read the text of Article 5 and you consider the character of our current Congress and courts, it is too risky to give that kind of power to today's ruling class. And there's a temptation. And I know there's a temptation because people are frustrated. They feel like they've lost control of their government because they have lost control of their government. But this is not an answer. This is the illusion of an answer that can get us deeper into trouble. And whenever you make any big decision, you know, the rational people, they look at the risks and they look at the rewards and they weigh those two things. And I'm arguing that in this case, that an Article 5 convention, when you look at the text of the Constitution and you look at the character of today's ruling class and courts and Congress, that the risk of that thing going off the rails and doing something that we don't want done is not zero. It's something above zero, and there could be a catastrophic result. So the risks are high. And the rewards, in the case of this particular compact that's being proposed, this particular so-called balanced budget amendment, the rewards are nil. They are posing something as a solution that is not really a solution and will not bring us the reward that it's held out to be. And so you have a situation with potentially catastrophic risks and negligible rewards. It's a bad decision to make. And, you know, they say that they've got it all under control. Just trust them and we can fix this thing. We can get Washington under control and you can stay in your easy chair. You can keep watching the ball game. All you got to do is say, yes, let's let our leaders have this convention. We have all these safeguards in place. And don't worry, we'll do what we say we do. But Anton, there's a rule throughout history, and that the more power you have at stake in a distant location, the greater the chances are that power is going to be used in a way that's not anticipated by or agreed to by the people far away from that location. I mean, that's the whole problem of Washington in a nutshell, right?
That's correct. In fact, our founding fathers, if I'm not mistaken, one of their problems was jurisdictions far. And they did not like the King of England, a tyrant 2,000 miles away, being in charge of them, not knowing their affairs, nor caring to know about them.
And I think today, you know, geographically, they're not as far away, and the world is a lot smaller. But I think culturally and politically, today's ruling class is as out of touch as it can be. And this is a test of character. And I know there's people out there that, and I'm the same way. I would love there to be a magic bullet. I would love there to be an answer to where I do not have to do all the things I know are going to have to be done to fix this political system. I would love it if we could make those rascals be good men by passing one more rule, by putting one more rule on them. But you can't do that. Rascals don't become good men just because you give them more rules. They're ignoring the Constitution we have now. They're ignoring the instructions they have been given already, both from us and from the founders. When the problem is that they're ignoring the Constitution that we have now, adding to that Constitution cannot be the solution. When the problem is they are not listening to the instructions we are giving them now, providing them more instructions is not the solution. I know it's difficult. I know a lot of people are emotionally invested in the current system, in the current two-party system, for example. But we have to throw the rascals out. Personnel is policy. The idea that you can turn crooks and sellouts into honest men by giving them more rules is silly. But it's pleasant to believe, because what we're going to have to do, what we need to do to really fix this country, it's like Henry Ford said, most people miss opportunity because it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work. Now, what we're really going to have to do to fix this country, and people are going to have to give up some things. You know, we have people, they're not willing to leave their political party. They're not willing to change their political party, but they want to change the Constitution, because that's something somebody else does over there, and no change is required of them. They can keep the associations they've been keeping. They can just believe whoever they've been believing and not change a thing. But what I'm saying is, this convention of the states, one, even if you could, number one, giving rascals more rules does not make them good men. Number two, it's only an illusion that the rules they make will be the ones you want to put on them. The chances of this amendments convention, this Article 5 convention, spinning out of control are not zero. You have been assured by the proponents that they have safeguards in place. But those safeguards are based on, they're not based on what the text of the Constitution actually says, nor with today's courts would it matter. In other words, the proponents of this Article 5 convention assure us that they can keep this thing under the control of the states. Even if the Constitution said that, I submit to you, be honest with yourselves, friends, would today's courts care what the actual text of the Constitution says? Look what they just did with Obamacare. When they were arguing it before the Supreme Court, the administration took the position that the individual extra fee we had to pay, the fine, was not a tax. The fine for not having health care was not a tax. And so that was the position of the administration on Obamacare. Then the courts, and this was a Republican appointee that decided this, said, no, we've decided it now is a tax so that we can keep this law. So you see, original intent doesn't matter. The text of the law doesn't matter. The courts right now have separated themselves. They don't respect original intent anymore. You know, that's why we can talk about what the Founding Fathers believed and this and that, and that some proponents of this offer several quotes from the Founding Fathers to try to reassure people that this thing won't spin out of control. Well, such rhetoric presupposes that today's ruling class respects the Founding Fathers. They don't respect the Founding Fathers. They don't respect us. So those appeals, you know, it can be argued both sides. Some Founding Fathers believe one thing, some believe the other. But the point is, today's ruling class does not respect them. Today's courts, even if the Constitution said the states control this process, today's courts will be the ones deciding the dispute. Mark Levin will not decide who ultimately resolves this dispute. You and I will not decide it. The federal courts will decide it. And they're going to decide in favor of their employers, not us. I've gone on too long there. Is there anything?
Well, what kind of quandaries do you see? I mean, let's just start off. Let's think about, before we even talk about the actual proposition or the proposed amendment
right.
that was submitted, let's talk about the issues of the convention itself, the lead-up from the time the application leaves the state of Arkansas legislature all the way up to the start of the convention, and let's possibly get into the convention.
Okay. This is one thing I would like everybody listening to this broadcast to do, is to find a constitution, Google it online if you're online, and read the text of Article 5. And I know this is hard to do, but separate from everything you've been told about it and read it as a sentence of English on its own. Don't listen to what I'm telling you necessarily. Don't listen to what Mark Levin or anyone else is telling you. But read the text of Article 5 yourself. And you'll see not what proponents hope will happen, but what is written in the text. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you look at the text and you see how this thing will go down, everything I said about the judges do not feel bound by the text of the Constitution anymore, that's still true. But in this case, my friends, the text of the Constitution supports Congress having a very, very strong showing in this process. Today's Congress, the Congress that's the problem, the rascals that you are trying to make behave by putting more rules on them, they are the ones that are in control of this process according to the text of Article 5. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Mark Levin's word for it when he says the opposite. Read the text of Article 5 yourself. Now, I've got it here, and it's a little bit difficult because it's from in English 200 years ago. But there's two ways to amend the Constitution according to Article 5. One starts with Congress. It takes two-thirds of Congress to refer amendment to the states. And then the states, three-fourths of the states, must have must ratify that amendment in their state legislatures. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is that the states apply to Congress. And when enough states, when three-fourths of the states apply to Congress, Congress is obligated to call a convention of the states. Or excuse me, it doesn't say a convention of states. It says, and that's the thing, they keep telling you it's a convention of states. Read Article 5. I'm simply asking you to read the text and see if convention of states appears in Article 5. It's not. It's a convention to propose amendments. Plural. Therefore, what this compact is trying to sell you is that the states can control this process. They can write, they can tell you, oh, this is exactly how it's going to go, and we're going to propose one amendment. It's going to be a balanced budget amendment, and that's the only amendment. And they've got to go there and give that a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and then leave within 24 hours. That's not what the text of Article 5 says. We may wish it said something different. It may be more pleasant for us to believe it says something different, but that's not what it says. The states don't have a convention. They don't call a convention. They apply to Congress, and Congress calls the convention. And when it's time for any amendments that come out of the amendments convention to be ratified, it is Congress which proposes the method of ratification. And I urge you to actually read the text of Article 5. Throw away the preconditions that you've been... Don't listen to what me or anyone else tells you it says. Read what it says. And then you'll find out who's being honest with you and who is selling you something that is not in the text. Now, so the courts won't even have to do what they did with Obamacare. They won't have to play games with the words to rule that Congress has significant power to shape both the convention process and the ratification process. Now, you have to think, I know most of you are decent people, and you don't think like an evil lawyer. But if you want to know where they're coming from, you've got to think like an evil lawyer. They are going to see these things. They're going to see, hey, can Congress put any restrictions on the convention? Well, sure they can. They write the call. Do you think they're just going to say, they're going to pass a one-sentence resolution? We call the convention, period? No. They're going to lay out parameters for that convention. It won't be the states saying, here's the number of delegates, and you know, here's who they are, and here's how we pick them. Congress writes the call. Congress makes the parameters. And you say, oh, Mark, you can't know that any more than Mark Levin can know it the other way. That's true. But I do know this. Whether my view of it prevails or his view of it prevails will be decided by the federal courts. So basically, if you trust today's ruling class to write a better constitution than our founding fathers, then go ahead and support an Article 5 convention. If you do not think that today's ruling class is founding fathers material, then I would urge you to oppose an Article 5 convention. Now, excuse me, say something here. Let's talk about George Mason or something.
What was the reason for them using a convention? What exactly is a convention?
Okay, yeah. What happened was, in the original debate over the adoption of our Constitution, the Anti-Federalists, who history has proven to be as right as the Federalists, as far as I'm concerned, in particular George Mason, Founding Father George Mason, he objected to some provisions of the Constitution. He thought it would lead to a federal government that was too big and too centralized. And lo, you know, he turned out to be right on that one. So he wanted another general convention, not an Article 5 amendments convention, because when they voted that provision in, the Anti-Federalists, like George Mason, thought, you know what, the Federalists have kind of, they won the argument there. The way they've defined that, Congress really has too much influence both ways. They have influence whether they refer a specific amendment out with a two-thirds vote, and they have too much influence under the second way. You know, the originally, George Mason wanted the ability for the... He wanted an amendment that said what Mark Levin claims Article 5 says. But Article 5 doesn't say what he claims it says. It's a process that Congress has its fingerprints all over. Either way, amendments are put into the U.S. Constitution under Article 5. Congress has significant influence. George Mason, he wanted a way that was truly from the states without congressional interference. He didn't get it. And if you read the minutes of the last day of the Constitutional Convention, he said, hey, can we have another general convention? Not an Article 5 amendments convention, but a general convention, which truly came from the states. Can we have another general convention to iron things out in this Constitution? And they said, no, this is it. And he said, then I can't vote for it. And he voted against ratifying the Constitution for that reason. So that's the history. Maybe there's some detail you'd want to add in that.
Well, so in essence, we don't have to go through Article 5 to have another general convention. We can have a general convention without Article 5, according to George Mason.
Well, that's what George Mason wanted at the time. Now, I think it can be argued that with a new Constitution, no, the way to change it is now through Article 5. But what I'm saying is Article 5 was a compromise between the Anti-Federalists and the Federalists, but the Federalists kind of got the better of the Federalists. In other words, it started as a model, we'll have one method of proposing amendments that comes through Congress, one method that comes through the states. But the Federalists stole a march on the Anti-Federalists, mm-hmm. and they slipped Congress into both ways so that the Anti-Federalists, such as George Mason, were dissatisfied with the outcome. They thought that amendment was too Congress-centered. And that's why I argue today it is reckless, it is foolhardy to have an Article 5 convention before you have changed Congress.
So here's my take a lot on the convention that existed. 70 delegates were selected. 55 showed up. 38 attended, and 4 of them didn't sign the Constitution. In fact, those 4, if I'm not mistaken, came out and opposed the Constitution in writing the Anti-Federalist Papers. And one of them was George Mason. And he could not in good faith do that. And one of the issues was Article 5, am I not mistaken?
Yes, in the sense that what he wanted, excuse me, was another general convention. Madison did not want another general convention. He wanted everything. He was a Federalist. He wanted everything to go through Article 5 and keep Congress's hand in it. And that's why the claims of these people today that this is a process by which the states can change the Constitution without interference of Washington, that is a false claim. The states have some influence, but the influence is extremely limited. And the text says that Congress has the authority both on the convention, the original convention to propose amendments, and the ratification process. Matter of fact, this might be a good time to talk about the court case.
You're talking about Dillon versus Gloss.
Yes, Dillon versus Gloss, 1921.
That was 1921. It was a bootlegger. And I'm not completely familiar with the whole affair of it, and I want you to chime in if you hear something that I'm saying is wrong, or you want to add something, please do so. But in effect, he was saying that the state application
that wasn't done through application. That wasn't done. Congress Congress referred an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And the states had ratifying, and Congress said, we want you to do it by ratifying conventions, and if you don't do it within 7 years, it's null and void.
Yeah.
You either got to do it within 7 years or not. And what this bootlegger argued was, hey, that seven-year thing that Congress just put a restriction on the state ratification process. It's not in the text of the Constitution that they explicitly have the power to add restrictions to the ratification
process. That's right.
And the courts ruled, you know, the text of Article 5 gives Congress broad powers. It doesn't have to specifically list the powers. Congress is basically the only authority mentioned for both calling the convention and proposing the method of ratification. So if they want to write a proposal for ratification that has extra restrictions on it, they can.
Hmm.
You're guilty. That's Dillon versus Gloss, 1921. I mean, please look it up. Check out what I'm saying. The only legal precedent we have confirms what the text of Article 5 says, that Congress has the authority under Article 5 to even add restrictions. These states think that they can put restrictions on the ratification conventions or even the original convention to propose amendments. That's not in the text. It's not in the text that the states have any authority to do any of this they're saying. And so it could very well be that the amendments they apply for a convention and they have their specific amendment in mind, and the courts say, well, you've applied for the convention, Congress has called the convention, their call doesn't include your amendments, your amendment, their call is more open than what you had in mind, but still, they have authority under the Constitution to have this convention. Now, I don't know that's going to happen this time, because when we get into the text of this thing in our next little podcast, you're going to see that corporate America is going to love this particular amendment passing.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, Congress has bought off, it's global money that buys our political system. It's not even American money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is going to have, it's going to hurt America's middle class and help global corporations, the way this thing is written. And it's very subtle, it's very tricky. We'll go into the next broadcast. What I'm saying is, they may pass this one as is and not monkey with the process, but they have the right to monkey with it under the text of the Constitution and by court precedent. To me, all these claims of, well, we're going to have all these safeguards on the state side, we're going to instruct Congress how they have to run this thing and how they have to ratify this thing, to me, it's just delusion.
Yeah, well, I also hear them saying, you know, it's what's in the application that matters. And I've always said, look, it doesn't matter how you do an application. That application is just like applying for a job, applying for a loan. The subject is loan. Okay? Either you got the credit for it or you don't. Either you're going to get what you want out of it or you're not. This is you're applying for a convention. It doesn't matter what the reason for applying for the convention is, all the same thing. The convention proposes the amendments. So I don't see any constriction. Now, I heard Dr. Edwin Vieira, he took the cause application that was presented to him by a Patriot Coalition, and Dr. Edwin Vieira said, okay, to further restrict the authority, scope, power of the federal government, he said, to what? He said, it says we want to further restrict. He said, well, in essence, I'll give my take on it. He said, I'm saying that a farmer buys 40 acres of land. He's just restricted himself to 40 acres of land. Well, somehow he obtains another 40 acres. He's been restricted or further restricted to 80 acres. That's further restricted. Whether it decreases the size or increases the size, the size started off at one point, and then it went further to restrict. There is another restriction. That's what that could also mean. But he says if you restricted him to 20 acres by some sort of edict, then guess what? Well, that is a defining term.
It goes back to what I was saying before. Today's ruling class has no love of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid a lot of our population has no love of the truth. If the truth, I mean, all I can offer you today is the red pill. If the truth is not as pleasant as they hope, they believe what they want to believe and don't look at what's actually there. Today's ruling class was not bound by words. That's kind of what you're saying. They will lawyer anything you put at them because they're rascals. And I'm saying, even though it's hard work, even though it's a long way to go, even though you may have to leave your party and start something new, you need to do whatever it takes to throw the rascals out. That's the only thing that's going to change it. Personnel is policy. The other guys are saying, no, if we can just say the magic words, write the right rule, they'll behave. And this is what you're giving me an example, they won't behave. This convention, like I said, because it supports the corporations that fund them, they may let this amendment go as is, but it won't be what you think it is. But Article 5 conventions, in general, will have three outcomes. Today's ruling class, today's Congress, they're not going to set up a convention and allow the states to take away their authority. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to do that. They're either going to write a proposal that rigs the convention, that proposes amendments, not an amendment, and stack it so that it sends out amendments that don't really have any real effect or make things worse. And if the states reject it, then the whole thing will be a waste of time. And those that say, oh, we don't have time, then we'll have even less time after we waste all our energy doing that. Or they'll pass out amendments that seem good but are not good, like this one the compact is doing right now. And it unfortunately will pass. And then we'll have lost time and we'll be in worse shape than before. And the third possibility is the nightmare scenario. And the probability of this may be low, but it's not zero, friends. The risk is not zero. That Congress both rigs they write the call to convention to rig both the convention, to propose amendments to the Constitution. And I deal with lawyers all the time. We had one lawyer. We had an existing easement across the guy's land from a long time ago, and it had archaic language in it. And he said, my client wants a new easement. I said, my client doesn't. We like this easement. However, you let us put a new pipeline in there, we will let you amend this one. And he said, fine, I'll amend that thing out of existence. And that's what can happen to our present Constitution if they start, not only do they rig the convention, but they start interfering. They propose the method of ratification. It says so right in Article 5. What if their proposal isn't just a one sentence, we propose the state legislators do it, or two, we propose conventions do it? What if